So, as you heard, my name is Steve. I'm a pastor at a small church in El Paso, Texas. And the woman that was up here that I was kind of squeezing, that was my wife. And this is a picture of our family. She said I should probably tell you why I'm speaking to the girls. Basically, I'm an expert in women. And so I have four sons, but I also have four daughters. All four daughters are women. I have three grandchildren who are all women. My wife is a woman. Turns out my mom is a woman. Both of my grandmas. And of all the people I've known in my life, about half of them are women. And so there you go. That pretty much sums it up. You're probably wondering what the difference is between men and women. And it's the shirt. You haven't figured that out yet. So get one of these, you're a guy. So I'm going to start off with a little exercise, and you may like these kind of things, or you may not. And what I like, it's not like physical. We're not going to be jumping jacks. What I'd like you to do is to close your eyes, and we're just going to imagine for a couple minutes here. Close your eyes, and I want you to imagine that you're at a dance, and at the dance there's about this many people, about 150 people. Most of them are your peers, and everybody's having fun, and laughing, and dancing, and enjoying the music. And there are a few people who are sitting at the sides of the room, and you're one of those people. You're one of those people, and you're wishing that you would be asked to dance. And maybe you wouldn't even like to dance that much. But just the idea of just sitting there feeling unchosen is really hard. You're starting to wonder, what's wrong with you? Aren't you attractive enough? Or maybe you're too clumsy or awkward or hard to talk to? You're wondering if anyone else is noticing that you're sitting there by yourself. If they're going to say anything to you later, make fun of you. And really, you're just starting to wish that you didn't come. And as you're sitting there, someone walks up and they ask if you'd like to dance. And he's older, he's closer to your father's age than your own. But he has a nice smile. And he looks a lot like Jesus. And so you don't really want to dance with an older man, but you figure that it's better than sitting there by yourself, and so you agree to dance, and so you go out onto the floor with him, and you start thinking, you know, I wonder what this guy's motives are. I wonder why he asked me to dance. And he looks at you, and he smiles. He says, I noticed that you were sitting alone. I didn't want you to feel lonely. I just wanted to cheer you up. And then you start to wonder if other people are going to notice, like, oh, she's dancing, but it's with this old guy. You start feeling self-conscious about that. It's kind of weird. And as you're thinking this, he looks at you and he smiles. He says, let's just have fun. Let's not worry what anybody else thinks. And so you try to just enjoy the time, but you're feeling a little clumsy. You kind of bump into him a few times and are awkward and turn the wrong way. And this is what you're thinking about when he smiles at you and he says, you're doing great. Just follow me. Trust me. So you continue dancing. Again, you start thinking, man, I wonder why nobody else would dance with me. I wonder what's wrong with me. I wonder if I'm ugly or what's wrong. And he looks at you and he smiles. And he says, I think you're beautiful. And you realize that every time you think something, he says something that just happens to be directly related to the thing that you're thinking. And this is kind of a weird thing to realize. And you look up at him, and his eyes are filled with water, and he actually has a couple of tears running down his face. And you say to him, what's wrong? He says, oh, it's nothing. It's just that you seem so sad and uncomfortable and disappointed in who you are. And I made you. I think I did a pretty good job. And then he smiles. And then he disappears. You can open your eyes again. You can turn the lights on. I've got a crazy dream tonight. And that's that the things that I just shared with you, that you would actually believe that story. Not that Jesus came actually to us, but that Jesus looks at you and smiles, and that he loves you, and that he's created you with a plan. And it's a good plan that makes him smile. He has a heart for you, and he wants you to trust him and to follow him and to take his lead into the good plan that he has for your life. Let's pray again. God, I think there's so many different people here, coming from all kinds of different places, different needs, different struggles, different things going on in their lives. Some are young, some are older, some have great upbringings, some have really hard upbringings. Some feel really peaceful in their womanhood, and some don't. And just, I can't do anything about that. I can't address all these different situations. But your Spirit can. So we come to you tonight, and we ask for you to speak to us. Every one of us needs to hear from you. And we've got to have your help. It's got to be something that you do. And so we pray that tonight you would speak to us. We pray that throughout this conference you would speak to us. And I pray that this would be a life-changing time. And so we just lift up this time to you. We invite you to challenge us, to stir our hearts, and draw us close to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. What I want to start off thinking about is family. God's plan seems very good to him. He may not like his plan, but he likes it. And it makes him smile. In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created mankind, male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. What he created on the sixth day was people, male and female. And he said it was very good. On the first day, he created stuff and he said it was good. On the second day, he said it was good. On the third day, he said it was good. On the fourth day, he said it was good. On the fifth day, he said it was good. But on the sixth day, he said it was very good what he had created in people, in male and female. So I think it's natural for us to just question, okay, well, what's so good about it? What are some of the good things about male and female? First off, it's kind of relationally beautiful, kind of like the Trinity. In Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And we're probably all familiar with the idea of the Trinity. We're not going to go into it real deeply, but we have God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God in his very essence is three in one. And he has relationship with himself. He's so relational. And that's a pretty wild thing. And you see that right here from the beginning in Genesis. Because God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. We see him speaking of himself in the plural. Pretty wild thing. He's a relational being. Do you remember what the greatest commandment is? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor is a very relational thing. Loving God is a very relational thing. God is a relational being who created relational people And he calls them into a relationship with each other and with himself. And it's not just man, that's not just woman, but it's men and women together. We're relational, like him. We reflect the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them. Male and female, he created them. We're in his image in some sense. It probably doesn't mean that we look just like him or act just like him. Certainly, it's not the case. But it's kind of interesting, we get a little hint of what it might look like in Genesis 5 when Adam had his son Seth. It says he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, that same expression. And so in the way that a father has a child or a son in his image, men are created in the image of God. And women are created in the image of God. Together, we reflect God. We capture some aspect of his essence, part of his beauty and who he is. And there's beautiful variety. It says in Genesis 1:27 again that he created us male and female. And that's kind of a cool thing. It's different being male than it is being female. It's different sitting here and singing with you guys than it is singing with the men. And what's really beautiful is if those voices are together. Hearing what you guys talk about is very different than hearing what the guys talk about. Very, very different. And the energy and, you know, just everything's different. And there's a beauty in him creating male and female. Now, he could have created us, I guess, like amoebas or something where we can just split and replicate. I don't know really how that works. Maybe the doctor can answer that. But it's so cool how created us with this variety of not just being one, but of being male and female. And so the way he created us, of course, allows for multiplication. So in the next verse, he says that part of our mission was to be fruitful and multiply. It doesn't mean that every man is going to have kids or every woman is going to have kids, but there's this idea of God loves people and he wants lots of people, and that's part of the mission that he put people on. Jeremiah has a pretty cool section that talks about the potter and the clay. We're just going to look at a few of those verses in that section. It says, does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind on it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry host. So here's this God who is this creator of the heavens, of the stars, the universe. Billions of stars and billions of galaxies. I mean, it's just wild to think of. And he's the potter, and he's saying, okay, I'm the potter, and I'm making the clay, and it's kind of weird for the clay to kind of look back at the potter and be like, well, why'd you make me like this? You know, it seems like you kind of goofed up. It's like, no, I'm the potter. Like, what does the clay know? And I have a little illustration of this. This is a pot that I made that I'm pretty proud of. I don't know if you call it a pot or what it is. I made this in ninth grade, and it still sits on my desk and holds all my pennies and stuff. And it has a nose and eyes. You can't really see it from that angle, but actually the big circles are glasses that circle around. And this little pot could look at me and be like, well, why are you making this way? I feel kind of dumb. Like other pots don't have noses and other pots don't have eyes. And I'm like, oh, you just kind of can smile. Like, that's just what I wanted to do. And I had the right to do that because I was the potter. He doesn't have any right to talk back because he's the pot. And he does. He makes me smile. He's making some of you smile. Like, I don't know if you're thinking that I'm just a bad potter or if you actually think he's cute, but there's, I don't know, there's something cool in that. And that's what God's saying is what I'm creating is good. And what he creates that's good, that's very good, I think would tend to make him smile. And it would be good to embrace what he sees as good, that we would also see it as good. I think that God's plan brings beauty. God's plan brings beauty. It's kind of a cool verse in Proverbs. It says, There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a young woman. And so these are things it says that are amazing, but they're kind of hard to explain. They're kind of hard to describe. It's hard to explain, you know, the movement of an eagle or a ship or the awesomeness of it. And that's one of the wrestles, I think, even at this conference, is it's hard to explain the beauty of being a woman and the beauty of being a man and the beauty of gender. But it is certainly amazing. It's amazing what God has done in creating us. And you might think of it like our shirts, like dance. And there's something about watching people dance. It's just beautiful. I'm not really into dancing. I don't enjoy dancing that much. Although our kids keep getting married and we go to weddings and there's dances and my wife makes me feel bad, so then I have to dance. I enjoy her. I enjoy dancing with her. I just don't know how to dance. And there's something beautiful in it, right? When, you know, one person's leading and one person's following, they both bring skill. They both could lead. They could both follow, right? They know how to do those things. And it's not just the beauty of the woman moving. And it's like the whole thing together is a beautiful thing. And that's the way it is with gender. The way God has made men and women is a beautiful thing. God's plan brings beauty. Psalms 139:14 says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. In that same chapter, it talks about how we are knit together in our mother's womb. I love that expression. Just such intention, such thought God has put into each one of you. You may feel like you're a mistake. You may feel like you don't fit in. You may feel like you're not like everybody else. But God created you with forethought. God created you with love. God created you the way He wanted you to be. And I think that would make me smile. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. This is a picture of the Mona Lisa. Probably all seen it before. I don't know why it's supposed to be so beautiful. It's a nice painting. I think there are a lot of really beautiful paintings. But it's hard to explain. I guess she's kind of famous for her smile. But it's not just her smile. It's like everything. Everything goes together to make the beautiful thing. And it's kind of hard to see, but there are beautiful things that make it easier to see. But there are kind of mountains in the background, and a little roadway, and a little bridge, and there's a lake or a river or something, and there's all this stuff going on in the picture. Like, what parts of it are needed to be beautiful? What parts of it are critical to this piece? And it's hard to break it down that way, because it's like, well, it doesn't work like that. It's just the whole thing together is beautiful. And in the same way, it's hard to explain, well, why are people beautiful? Or why are women and men and the relationship and how they what they bring to the world, it's hard to explain. It's just, I don't know, just together. It's like a painting. And the whole thing is beautiful. You bring something beautiful to the world, and God has made it that way. Women bring something good to the world. If I was going to sum that up in one word, you may not like it, but I would choose the word beauty. Women bring beauty to the world. Not just physical beauty, but so much of what a woman brings to the world is beautiful. Tenderness, kindness, compassion, serving, being beautiful on the inside. I think of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair. What a beautiful thing to do. And can you imagine Peter doing that? Like, hey, Jesus, I'm gonna wash your feet. Not just because his hair probably wasn't long enough, but like, it's just wild. I don't think in a million years a guy would ever think of that. But a woman did. I think of the women who came and tended to Jesus at his grave. I think of people caring, the women caring for his needs, helping him in his ministry. I think of Peter's mother-in-law, who after she was healed, got up right away and started serving people. I think of my own mom. And she did a lot for me. She cooked, and she cleaned, and she did laundry. I helped about zero. I didn't know how to do laundry until I left the house. I can't even believe that she didn't make me help. And she did all the stuff. She served a lot. The thing that really touches my heart, the thing I remember is when I would get sick and I'd be vomiting into the toilet, and she would come and hold my head. And even as a kid, I thought, that's really unnecessary. Like, it's not particularly helpful. It's not like my head's going to go flying into the toilet or going to drown or something, you know. And she doesn't, you know, it stinks, it's nasty. She's getting exposed to the germs. It's not practical at all, but it's womanly. It's tender. It's beautiful. Of all the things that she did for me, that stands out. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's not a guy thing to do. I don't know why. This is a picture of my grandma. She didn't always look like that when I knew her. It's the only picture I've seen of her that she looks outwardly beautiful. This is a picture of her with some of her friends. She's one with a little boy right in front of her. And I actually like the lady next to her. Look at her arms. She could out arm wrestle any of you. And maybe all of you at the same time. Like, and all of them are just like, these are tough women. And man, they are awesome. But they bring beauty to the world in all kinds of different ways. Not just their physical beauty. My grandma, when she was old, like when I knew her, she would make these little booklets. Like she'd buy a blank booklet, and she'd cut things, pictures out of a catalog. And so like she'd cut out a picture of a train, and then she would stick it, she would paste it into this booklet, and then she'd write a little poem about a train. And then she'd go to the next meeting, she'd have a picture of a little boy and a girl, and she'd write a little poem about a boy and a girl, or she'd have a little Bible verse or something like that. And then, I don't know exactly how she uses it, but she would give these to her kids in her Sunday school class. She's like in her, you know, 80s, 90s doing this. And it's like, wow, that's so beautiful that she would serve in that way and put so much time in. Like, again, from my perspective, it's like, that's such a huge waste of time. That's just so inefficient. Just spend $2 and buy something that's better, you know? It's like, But she just poured her heart into that, and the picture on the left is beautiful, the picture on the right is beautiful, and when I knew her, she was a lot older than that, she's still beautiful. She brought beauty into the world, but in a different way. I believe men bring something good to the world as well. Again, you may not like this. If I was to give one word for men, I would use the word strength. It doesn't just mean swords and Tonka trucks and burping contests. But I think men can serve nobly and they'll give their lives for causes. And they'll be providers and take care of their families, and at least, you know, in the ideal world. And like strength, it's not always used well, right? Like I think of Peter chopping off Malchus's ear. He goes at this guy with his sword, and the guy ducks, evidently catches his ear and chops it off. And I don't think that was the right thing to do, but I can appreciate he's bringing strength into the situation to try to save Jesus, as if he's needed saving. And that's kind of a cool thing that he would do that. There's a verse in Nehemiah 4:14, and Nehemiah says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. How many men have done that? Lay down their life for their families. Maybe every single day, or maybe in wartime, but It's really beautiful when men bring strength to women, when men bring strength to their families. So our son Jaira got married a couple months ago or so, and I don't know where Holly went. He married Holly's daughter. Holly's going to be one of your speakers tomorrow. And this is actually a picture from one of the tables. So they had their wedding at like a church camp, and there was a room kind of like this with a bunch of those plastic tables set up, and everything was kind of dusty just because, you know, it's just a camp. They don't have a ton of people to make everything perfect. And I walked into the room as they had set everything up and saw all the centerpieces and how beautiful it looked. And I just thought, women are awesome. Because women put all this work into making this beautiful. And I don't know why this thought was hitting me, but I just thought, if the groomsmen had been chosen to do this, they would have had strength, right? They'd all carry six tables at once. Like they would have enjoyed that part of it. And then they would look at me like, do you think we should wipe off the tables? You know, it's just they bring something very different. And there are guys who could do this too, but there's just something a little bit different about what women bring. When I was a kid, as far as I know, they didn't use surgical staples. They just sutured people. If you got a big cut, they just used kind of a thread and a needle and held it together. With that, the first time I heard about surgical staples, my first thought was, no way. Like, they don't really do that. Like, you're kidding me. And then they're like, no, it's a real thing. And my second thought, literally, I'm not lying to you. I just immediately thought, a man invented those. I just knew. It just came to my mind right away. There's no way a woman invented that. Now, women can invent things, right? Women are very intelligent, very smart, and they can invent a lot of things. But it took a man to think that stapling people was a good idea. It's just different things that we bring to the table. Now, obviously, there is a lot of overlap, a lot of variety, right? I think of just different people throughout history or even in the Bible. And you can see women exhibiting strength, right? I think of Jael, who drove a tent peg through the head of Sisera. That's bringing some strength to the situation. And if you think about it, on average, she has put a tent peg through the head of more people than the average man. That's showing some strength. Kind of part of the same story as Deborah. And she went to war and fought with Balak because he was kind of afraid for whatever reason to go by himself. It's kind of an obscure story. There's a lady from Abel. They had a tower, and Joab was going up against the tower, and he wants to knock it down. She cries out, you know, what are you doing? This is our city. This is our inheritance. This has been handed down to us. He's like, well, we just want this one guy. He's like, just a second. She goes and gets people and says, hey, let's lop this guy's head off and throw it over. And so that's what they do. They go and they lop this guy's head off and throw it over the tower. And I don't know if she was involved in the lopping or not, but I think she had something to do with that happening. And she brought strength to that situation, and that was a good thing, as far as I can tell in this story. And so women can certainly bring strength. And men can also they can bring beauty as well. And we have different personalities, right? There's a mix of what we're like. Think of Jacob, who liked to go, or he liked to stay in the tents while his brother was out hunting, being a manly man. And he stayed in the tents with his mom. And we know he made soup, right? He made soup, and his brother came home and said, hey, I made some soup. It's pretty good. And that was okay. He's just different. Think of David's those songs, or Solomon wrote lots of songs, poems, and who just, I don't know, he seemed to be a little bit more tender. He liked plants and gardening and things like that. And I'm not saying those things totally feminine, but they're not manly necessarily either. They're not swords. And so women bring some things, and men bring some things, and there's certainly a mix, but a tender man is still a man. And a strong and rough woman is still a woman. And we need to see that. And we need to honor that. We need to embrace the way God has made us. And I think he smiles at his plan. He's had a good plan. He likes his plan. And I think for us to join him in his plan, instead of fighting against his plan and trying to be something different than who he created us to be. God's plan brings good to the world. God's plan brings good to the world. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body, the physical body. It talks about the hands and the feet and the eyes and, you know, just the ears, all that stuff. And they're just different. They bring different things, right? And it's talking about how, you know, the foot can't say to the hand, well, I don't need you. I can't say to the ear, I don't need you. It's not like one part's honorable and another part's not. Sometimes those things that we think are dispensable are actually indispensable. They're all valuable. And what he's talking about is people, right? He's talking about in the church, there are different people who bring different things to the table, different gifts and talents, and we have different weaknesses. And by ourselves, we aren't great. Like, by ourselves, we're not a very complete picture. But together, that's really good. That's a really good thing. Because God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wants. So that kind of makes us smile. He's put things together the way that he has. And certainly, I would argue that he's done that within the church. How much more has he done that in the world? He's created us the way that would bring good to the world. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the work which God prepared in advance for us to do. Why did he create us? Because he created us to do good works. He has purpose. He has a plan for your life. He has things that he wants to do through you. And I love that word there that's translated as handiwork. In some other translations, it says workmanship or masterpiece or work of art. Again, if you think back to the pot or to Mona Lisa, and it's like God made us just the way he wanted. For what purpose? Because he has good things planned. Things that make him smile, that he wants you to step into, that he wants you to do. And I think that is a really beautiful thing. God has made me a man to bring good into the world. God has made you a woman to bring good into the world. God has chosen women to bring a lot of good into the world. A lot of good. And there are tons of examples, again, in history or in the Bible of how women have brought good. Just a few that came to me pretty quickly as I was thinking about this. It's just Rahab. Rahab was a woman who saved some spies, and in saving the spies, you could say maybe she saved Israel. She ended up becoming an Israelite and became an ancestor of Jesus. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. God wasn't like, I'm just going to just save all the important jobs for men. He gave her a really important job, and he spoke very highly of her in Scripture. Think of the story of Esther, who also God put her in a place and used her to save the Jewish race. He didn't say, well, that's not really a good job for a woman. Let me say that for a man. No, he used her to save the Jewish race. Mary, of course, was the mother of Jesus. Jesus had a mother and a father, but really as a mother and a stepfather, I guess. She was the only biological parent. God chose a woman to be the biological parent. That was some of the good that she was going to bring into the world. Mary Magdalene was the first person to see Jesus at the tomb. When God wanted to reveal his plan and how it was unfolding and how Jesus had raised from the dead, he didn't tell a man first, he told a woman. use her to bring good in telling other people about what had happened. The women of Acts in Acts 1:14 says, they all drank together, constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And they were a part of the good that was happening. The book of Acts is this exciting story of the Holy Spirit moving through the early church to bring good to the known world. And who was right at the center of that? The women. God is bringing good through those women. God wants to bring good through all of us. God wants to bring good through you. And so, big picture, we could go back to the dance for a second. I just thank God. God smiles. God loves you. He loves the way that he created you. He loves that you're a woman. He loves your part in the picture. He loves the pot that he's making you into, the painting that you're a part of. It's all part of his good plan that he likes and he smiles at. And you get to be a part of that. And I think just like the dancing, it's like at some point you have to kind of, well, let him take the lead. Follow him into his plan. In faith, believe that he has good for you. In faith, believe that he created you to be a woman. In faith, believe that that's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing that God likes. God, we ask that you would just help us. Again, we're in so many different spots. Help us just to believe that you love us. You're for us. You smile at us. You have a good plan for us. You smile at that plan. Help us in faith to step into that. God, I thank you that you created a distinction. You created male and female, not short and tall or black and white or something else. God, you created this distinction, this beautiful distinction of male and female. Somehow it's part of the amazing plan that you have to bring good into this world. God, help us to step into that, to follow you in that. And we just pray that you continue to bless us as we go forward. Help us to process these things well. And just, we love you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. You want to introduce the questions?